Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the USA Hockey Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions on how to participate will be given at that time. If anyone requires operator assistance during today's call, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please also be aware that today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Dave Fisher. Sir, you may begin.
Matthew, thanks very much, and good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us as we near the 2010 Olympic Winter Games in Vancouver, just a little more than a month away now, and we're pleased to reveal the captains of the 2010 U.S. Men's Olympic Ice Hockey Team here today. After we're finished, this call is being recorded and will be posted on USAHockey.com within about an hour after we're finished. If you have any specific questions after we're done, feel free to call me here in the office. The number 719-538-1171. Just to be clear, too, as we head towards Vancouver, I think most of you know, but just in case you don't, media requests for the players on the men's teams and our staff on the men's teams, as they're all NHL people, outside of Jim Johansson, anyone connected with the National Hockey League, requests for players and staff should go through the NHL PR directors, and we've set that process up from the beginning, and I think it's working well. Obviously, if there are any issues whatsoever in accommodating, please let me know, but I don't think we'll have any of those. Anything for directly for Jim Johansson can come right through me here in the office. We will send a note out to you all with a calendar-type schedule for both our men's and women's teams that will detail practice times, game times, media availability, and a lot of specific information that you'll be wanting to know at the end of January, very early in February, so you can be expecting that. And obviously, before I introduce Brian Burke, one other thing I think you all are aware as well, that we have two significant anniversaries of past Olympic teams. Our 1960 team, which won the first ever gold medal, celebrates its 50th anniversary in 2010. And, of course, our 1980 Miracle on Ice team celebrates its 30th anniversary in 2010. And now to give us the news of who the captain and alternate captains will be for the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team. My pleasure to turn the call over to our general manager, Brian Burke. Burkey?
Thanks, Fish. I'm going to repeat with some brevity what I said the other day on the call, just to thank you, the media, for joining us. The Olympics presents the NHL with a unique opportunity because we get coverage and we have people following the tournament that are not normally hockey fans, and it's a great opportunity for the NHL to market itself. So to all the media, thank you for joining us. The ones who don't traditionally cover us, I'd like to thank you in particular. And I'm going to announce our captain. I'm going to let Ron Wilson announce our alternate captain. I want to talk about our captain. This was we've had some difficult decisions and some long discussions and some vitriolic, profanity-laced arguments through the selection process, but the one thing we didn't have any kind of a fight on was picking our captain, and that's going to be Jamie Langenbrenner from the New Jersey Devils. Jamie is a serving NHL captain. A number of our players are, in fact, serving NHL captains, but he's serving on an organization that's respected throughout the league. He's been a model of consistency, of versatility, and this is a guy that does just about everything well on a nice surface and lots of things well in the dressing room. So, again, lots of tough decisions for Team USA going into this Olympic game, but picking our captain wasn't one of them. It was easy to do. So, Jamie, on behalf of Team USA as we head to Vancouver, congratulations and welcome aboard as our captain.
All right, thanks, Brian, and now we'll turn it over to the head coach of the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, Ron Wilson. Ron?
Thanks, Fish, and I'll reiterate what Brian said. Thanks to the media, and in particular those who normally don't cover the NHL. We're really excited about the Olympics and our prospects. Very proud of the 2010 World Junior Champion junior team, and also our under-17s who were successful last week as well, beating Ontario in the World Under-17 Challenge. We're going to, and I'll name four alternate captains. So on a game-by-game basis, two guys will be wearing the A's, but the four players are Zach Parise from the Devils, Ryan Suter from Nashville, Brian Rafalski from the Detroit Red Wings, and from Los Angeles, Dustin Brown. So those four guys, Zach, Ryan, Brian, and Dustin, I don't believe Ryan's here today on the call, but hearty congratulations. The process that we went through, once we named the team, we started, the coaches anyway, started bantering some names back and forth through emails and a couple of phone calls. And then we got input from Brian, David Poyle, and Jimmy Johansson, and narrowed it down. And I think it was David Poyle and Jimmy thought it would be a good idea. I had originally thought of having three alternates, and we came up with four-man and alternate. We don't think we have any problem with leadership on our team, and it's always difficult to single out names to wear an A, and we know we've got leadership that doesn't require any letters. Not that these guys do either, but we did have to name somebody. We're really, and I'm really proud that Jamie's going to be our captain. I've coached him in a couple of events, and he is the ultimate professional. I think his experience in the Olympics prior and also the World Cup will really help get our team pulled together and headed in the right direction. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. And we do have three of the four players that will be in leadership roles with us, and my pleasure now to turn it over to the captain of the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, Jamie Langenbrenner.
Hey, Dave. Fish. Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, Langer.
Am I just giving a statement here?
Yeah.
First off, I'm honored to be given this position. Like Berkey and Will said, you know, there are plenty of leaders on this team, and I've been fortunate to play with both Raffy and Zach on a long-term basis during the season, and you know, been able to meet the other two in this past orientation camp, and you know, to be picked is a great honor, and I'm not too worried about the leadership on this team at all. I think we have plenty of great leaders, and I think we're all going to know our goal and our focus going forward, and are looking forward to the challenges of going to Vancouver and winning a gold medal.
All right, Jamie, thanks very much. And, of course, I think you all know that Jamie will be making a second Olympic appearance, having played on our 1998 team in Nagano. One of the alternate captains will be competing in his third Olympic Winter Games, also having been on the team in 2006 and 2002, Brian Rafalski. Brian?
Yep, thank you, Fish. Obviously, it's a great honor. I think we have a great team heading into the Olympics. I think having a younger team is going to give us a lot of energy and enthusiasm that that we can use, and I think our jobs as captains is going to be fairly easy, being such a short tournament, and all these guys are great pros on this team, so I don't foresee any huge problems. I think our goal there, out there, is just to go out there and make sure we're focused every shift, and you know, obviously how this tournament's set up, we can't afford to take any shifts off, and I think that's going to be our focus going forward.
Thanks, Brian. Zach Parise, of course, will be participating in his first Olympic Winter Games, but no stranger to Team USA, has participated in many events wearing the USA jersey. And I'll turn it over now to Zach.
Thanks, Fish, and thanks, everyone. Pretty honored, like those two guys said, and excited to be named one of the alternate captains. I think it's a great selection with Jamie being the captain. I mean, just being in New Jersey and being my first year, having a letter on my jersey there, I've learned a lot from him being our captain and sitting next to him in the dressing room, you know, the way he carries himself and trying to, you know, take a lot of his things in the dressing room and kind of put them into mine. And so it's a great selection. A lot of the young guys are going to learn a lot from him and Raffy as well and everyone. So it's we're like those two guys said, we're really excited about it. Really looking forward to heading up to Vancouver.
Thanks, Zach. And the last but certainly not least player that's on the call with us today is Dustin Brown, again participating in his first Olympic Games, someone also who has played for Team USA on multiple occasions and other events, and I'd like to turn it over to Dustin at this time.
Thank you, Fish. I just want to thank everyone for being here. Obviously, it's a huge honor, as everyone else has mentioned, to be named an alternate captain, but I think Jamie touched on it as the lack. We all have no lack of leadership, given the guys with the letters, without the letters. We have, you know, a huge group of guys that can lead by example, and I think that's a huge part of a successful team in a short tournament. Obviously, I'm looking forward to going to Vancouver and representing USA and bringing home the gold.
Thanks, Dustin. And ladies and gentlemen, a full release with many more details will be on the front of USAHockey.com and also be sent out via email here momentarily. Just to get to your questions, have foregone going into a lot of that detail, but certainly encourage you to get it in the release that is just on its way out to you. At this time, I'd like to turn it back over to Matthew, who will take us through the question and answer portion of today's call. I should also mention that Jim Johansson, part of the management team for the men's Olympic team and also the assistant executive director of USA Hockey, is also on the call if there are any pertinent questions for Jim as well today. Matthew?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to queue up to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your touch tone keypad. If your question has been answered or if you'd like to leave the queue for any reason, you may do so by pressing the pound button. Our first question comes from Craig Custance. Your line is open.
Oh, this is a question for Zach. You mentioned kind of learning a lot from Jamie as a leader, and you know him as well as anybody. Can you just tell us what kind of leader he is and what you've learned from him, especially since you've gotten the A?
Yeah, he's the type of guy in the dressing room that, you know, when something needs to be said, it's said. He knows that I've been known to get worked up now and then, and you know, he's always there to make sure I'm not getting a little ahead of myself, but he does that for everybody, and for us, you know, like I said, being the younger guys, you need that type of experience. You need a guy that's won Stanley Cups, that's played there before, to kind of tell you, hey, you know, hey, things are going to be all right, and I've learned a lot from him in that manner in the last couple of years.
Thanks, Zach. And one follow-up for Ron. I think there's going to be mild surprise that Chris Drury isn't on this list. Can you just explain the thought process on Chris?
Well, you know, just about everybody, when you look at the list of players, has an A, or in some cases C's, and we didn't think that we necessarily had to give everybody. The easy thing would have been just hand out A's and give them to every player, whereas when the NHL, we feel that we wanted some representation in the captaincy from different parts of our team. We've got, obviously, Jamie doesn't like me to say it, but a couple of veteran guys, Jamie and Brian, and then a few of our younger guys, and we wanted to balance the leadership, at least the leadership that's on paper amongst various groups in our team, and I think we've been able to do that.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kevin Allen. Your line is open.
Thank you. This question's for Jamie. Obviously, Jamie, you've had accolades throughout your career, but you know, this is a best against best tournament, and you've been named captain of you know, one of the teams. Could you just sort of talk about, you know, where this fits in your list of accomplishments throughout your hockey career?
Well, as far as individual accomplishments, if you call it that, you know, it's got to be right up there. You know, but I've never really prided myself on individual accomplishments for the most part. You know, I think I've been always being about the team, and you know, the greatest things in my career have been winning 2 Stanley Cups and being a part of those great teams. As far as individual things, yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to. You know, I have been a player that's been a part of some great teams, and you know, played a lot of different roles on those teams and had some personal success in those teams. But to be singled out as a captain is definitely something that, you know, it's an honor and something that I'm going to take very seriously, and I'm very excited to be a part of this group. Like Dustin said earlier, you know, to be a part of this group with this opportunity is a great honor. So to be named one of the leaders just adds to that.
as a follow-up, speaking of taking it seriously, could you just sort of, obviously you've looked at your roster and you know what the other countries have as well. Can you just sort of address how you think this team or what it needs to do in order to be successful at the Olympic Games?
Well, I think everybody's got to come and do the job that they were picked to do. I think there's no question about the role that certain people and certain players were picked to do certain roles, and if everyone comes with that mindset and checks their ego at the door as far as, you know, everybody's not going to be able to go play in a power play, and everybody's not going to go out and play 20 minutes a night. You know, if guys go with that attitude that we're here for 2 weeks, there's no ego, and everybody's doing what's asked of them, and, you know, there's no limit to what this team can do, and you know, I understand you look at paper, and some of these teams have a lot of talent, but so do we, and I think we have a lot of talent and a lot of guys that fit roles that make a good hockey team, and that's the important thing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Powers. Your line is open.
Hi, I have a question for Brian. Brian, are you there still?
Yes, John.
Good. I just wanted to follow up on our last call when we talked about the roster question, which now the IAHF appears to have cleared up in terms of who can substitute when. But what they mentioned to people was you can change a roster in case of injury or what they call exceptional or valid reasons. Are you guys happy with the wording of that, and is there any chance that some countries may decide to play fast and loose with that interpretation?
We're comfortable that this is the group we're taking, barring an injury replacement. And be honest with you, John, I don't care what other countries do. If the IOC or IHF doesn't enforce the rules and people substitute, we're taking our group and we're going to play whoever comes out on the ice against us that night.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Again, if you do have a question, please press star, then one to join the question queue. Our next question comes from Pierre Lebrun. Your line is open.
Brian, in choosing Jamie as your captain, how much of it was also, I mean, here's this, you know, this great unassuming leader on a team that every year people think are finally going to take a dip because they keep losing free agents and the Devils just go about their business. Is a lot of it just the organization as well that he comes from and how they go about their business?
Well, we wanted to have a rule against facial hair, so we got one captain and two alternates that played there. and Brownie can't grow a mustache, so we're all set. No, part of it, a large part of it is when we were going through the selection process and the captaincy, that kept coming up. You know, this is a guy that played in the New Jersey system. So, you know, Brian Nopalski cut his teeth as a Devil. Now, Jamie Langenbrenner's gone through the, you know, that whole process, watching guys, to even borrow his language, check their ego at the door, do their job. And so, yes, a lot of this team selection and captaincy selection is a tribute to Lou Lamoriello, who, of course, is a real, you know, has been a giant with USA Hockey. So no question that's a factor.
As a follow-up, Brian, because I know you know how a lot of us are going to react on our side of the fence. I know Craig asked Coach Wilson about, Jury not getting a letter. I think the only reason why it might get noticed, Brian, is just because you were pretty defensive about his selection back at Fenway and how much you had leaned on him in terms of the thought process for putting this team together. I mean, you recognize why that might be sort of people might raise their eyebrow over that.
No, people are raising their eyebrows because they all predicted he'd be one of these guys, and you guys don't look like silly.
That's true.
It has nothing to do with what I said. Leaders lead. Leaders don't need letters to lead. And Ron Wilson and I were co-captains together in college, and it didn't change one thing on how we acted when they put a C on us. So, to me, leaders lead. And if you need a letter to lead, then you're not a leader anyhow. Now, we know what Chris Drury can bring. He doesn't need a letter. We've got a number of guys who are wearing letters in the NHL who aren't going to wear a letter on this team. And if you need a letter to lead, then you're not a leader. So, with Chris Drury, I wasn't defensive at all about picking Chris Drury. In fact, every single guy, this will be illuminating for the people in the media that are skeptical about Chris Drury, every single guy on the selection committee had him on the team. So I wasn't defensive at all. What I said to you guys was we picked Chris Drury because he's Chris Drury. That's not defensive. That's praise of Chris Drury. And I think the reason the guys are all speculating that he would be one of the guys, and now they're sour they were wrong. So I could care less about that. These are the guys we want wearing letters. We expect leadership from other guys on the team that we've named, like Mike Komisarek, who wears a letter on our team and has not been asked to wear a letter. We expect him to provide leadership nevertheless.
All right, thanks for clearing that up.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mike Morial. Your line is open.
Thank you. Congrats to all the players on the call. Jamie, do you think you'll have to change any way you view your captaincy with the United States team in such a short tournament than, you know, than how you view it now in New Jersey?
How I view it? No. I think Berkey just said it right there. I don't think I've really changed to who I was before I was captain in New Jersey or who I am now. I mean, I still go about the way I prepare for a game and the way I treat the people in the dressing room and the way I do every day. I mean, that doesn't change. And, you know, I plan on being that way long after I'm done playing hockey. So, you know, I think nothing should change, and if you're thinking you have to change something or do something different, then you're not being who you are and why you were picked to be in that situation in the first place.
And this one goes out to Brian Rafalski. Brian is one of the venerable members of this team, the venerable member, I should say. What do you feel is most important in a short tournament like this?
Well, obviously not taking any time or any shifts off in the game. Obviously, you want to put yourself in the best situation heading into the elimination round. So, you know, the key in this sort of tournament is getting everyone on the same page as quickly as possible, getting guys organized, communicating as much as possible so they're as comfortable as they can be out on the ice. You want to be thinking out on the ice. You want to be reacting and going at full speed. So I think that's going to be the focus.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ira Padel. Your line is open.
Thank you. Ron, this is for you. How important is it to have so many guys that are captains and alternates on a team that now only has three guys that have Olympic experience?
Well, I think when you mentioned that, a lot of teams, generally the better players, are going to be leaders, and they're better players because they are. So it's only natural. We've picked what we think is the best team possible, and so many of them are leaders. The most important thing that we have to, and Brian just mentioned it, is communication. The communication between the coach and the players, between the coach and the captains, and obviously when we start playing the games before and after, is having very open lines of communication, because we don't really have, and that's not only for us, for every team, very difficult when you only have one practice. And to be perfectly honest with you, with 12 o'clock starting times, we don't have pregame skates either. So we have to have an ability to communicate and make it as clear as possible and keep things as simple as possible in our communication. And that's the only way that we're going to have a chance. And I have no issues at all. I know this team will check their egos in at the door and be prepared to work. We saw that this summer at our camp. It was a fun camp. These guys quickly understood what we were talking about as coaches. And over the next couple of weeks or so, I'll be communicating with Jamie as to exactly what he thinks the rest of the group is going to need before we get to Vancouver, because we're going to have to be up and running as quickly as possible.
And as a follow-up for Jamie, is there a bit of a comfort zone for you as well that everybody's saying, you know, you check your egos and things like that, but there will be guys in that room that you can bounce ideas and problems off of?
Well, definitely. And that's the great thing about, like Dale all just said, having so many leaders in the group is I don't even foresee that being a problem. But it also, you do have that support group, and you do have people that have been in those situations and, you know, could give their input if needed. But quite frankly, I don't really see that being an issue. I think, you know, we are going focused with that goal, and I don't see it as an issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sean Fitzgerald. Your line is open.
Jamie, just a question about what kind of atmosphere you think you'll be leading this team into in Vancouver. I mean, they've been debating, you know, who's going to be filling what role with Team Canada since, I think, 2002, it seems like. It's a fairly raucous atmosphere, I guess you could expect.
I don't think there's any question that who the crowd's going to be cheering for and what the focus will be on them, and quite frankly, that's fine. I don't think any of us can be concerned about that. We shouldn't be. We're all professionals. We've all played in difficult buildings and difficult situations, and we understand that you know, the pride that Canada has in their hockey. But you know, I think USA is starting to put their foot on the map too, and the pride that they're showing, and I think it's good in the World Juniors and way they were able to overcome, and you know, hopefully we'll learn a little something from that and move forward when we play in February.
Just as a quick follow-up, and not to sound at all too cute, but I guess the 30th anniversary that you're marking this year is of another team that might possibly have been overlooked by some heading into the Olympic tournament.
Well, definitely a little bit of a different situation in my opinion. You're talking, as much as Canada deserves all the credit they're getting for the players that they have. You know, the 23 players named to the U.S. team play in the same league as those guys, and we feel quite comfortable playing on them playing against them on a nightly basis, and you know, feel that we belong on the same ice as them. So, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity and the challenge of playing against them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kevin Pates. Your line is open.
Hey, Jamie, say Kevin Pates here in Duluth. I'm just wondering if you had a chance to think about your growing up years in Cloquet. Would you be able to point to folks either in your family or players you played with or coaches that you played for that maybe prepared you to do well in the NHL and maybe to have a leadership role at this stage of your career?
Well, I would have to start with you know, right in high school, coach and Tom McFarland was one that instilled a lot of the same values and the same ideals that Lou Lamoriello does here. You know, we had the same haircut rules and dressing up for games and dressing up to go to school on game days. You know, a lot of the same stuff was instilled right from, you know, in high school. So I'd definitely say he'd be the main one.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I'm showing one more question in queue from Helene Elliott. Your line is open.
Thank you. Yeah. Ron or Brian, if you could for a moment address Dustin Brown and what qualities you believe he brings and that made him worthy of being one of the alternates. Thanks.
I'm going to go, Wills?
Yeah, sure. You can fire off.
All right. What we like with Dustin Brown, and Brown is going to get embarrassed, but we think Brownie does a lot of things well and that he can move up and down on a depth chart in a tournament. We think he's skilled enough to play in your first group if you need that. He's versatile enough to play a little slightly different role in the two-hole. He's smart enough and quick enough to play in the three-hole if you need him, plus he brings a physical element. And we think he's nasty enough to play in the four-hole. So we talked about what if this guy's not going or that guy's going, and everyone kept saying, well, Brownie can go up. Brownie can move up. And then what if this guy's not going? Well, Brownie can switch to the other side and move up. So there's a lot of versatility there, but I think it's more that there are very few guys that can fill every hole on a depth chart. Very few guys that can go from 1 to 4. There are guys who can go from 1 to 2 or 3 to 4. Very few guys can fill all four slots on both sides. Brownie's a right winger but can play the left side, and we felt there's 8 jobs for him on this team he could do on a given night.
Dustin, that make you embarrassed at all?
A little bit, obviously, but obviously, I mean, it's something obviously I take pride in. I can obviously play that physical game and skill game at the same time. And if, you know, like I said, if it helps the team, you know, that's what I'm willing to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm showing no further questions from the phone lines.
All right, Matthew, thanks very much, and thanks to our participants today. And, again, if you have any questions, feel free to call here in the office, 719-538-1171. Have a terrific day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation on today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may now disconnect.